So hey everybody, this is Eric Mann. I'm the host of Voices from the Frontlines. I'm going to read you some stories from the news today. I think we're going to talk the most about the government shutdown. We're going to go to the phones at about 4:40, as we've been doing lately, because a lot of our callers have been great. And we're going to discuss what's up in the news. And we're going to start with the U.S. shutdown and who will be affected. First, I want to give a quick announcement. We're going to have the fun drive next Tuesday, so I won't be on. I know you'll miss me. But there'll be really good programming, and Alan Minsky, who's a very dynamic fundraiser and programmer, is going to be initiating that. But we'll stay in touch with you throughout the fun drive. So let's start with this U.S. shutdown. I'll admit, I've been having difficulty following this, not because I don't understand it, but because in some way, the whole thing gets me sick. Like, Obama keeps negotiating with the Republicans. The Republicans are trying to get rid of Obamacare. The Republicans are going to come up with a budget that the president can't sign. But the president can't make his point clear to anybody at this point. It's not clear. I mean, obviously, the Republicans are trying to, again, destroy the Obama administration, create a totally artificial shutdown of the government. But it's going to have profound impacts, similar to the way that the president went along with the so-called sequester program that nobody knows what it is, but 20 to 25% of the people who work for the government have lost their jobs under Obama because of his endless deals with the Republicans. So if you've ever seen somebody negotiate against themselves, Barack Obama is the specialist at that. And with that, I'm going to read you from the BBC News, at least who will be affected, which is many of you out there. The U.S. Congress has failed to agree on a budget by the 1st of October, and federal government shutdown has begun, sending more than 700,000 federal workers home and closing down national parks, museums, federal buildings, and services. What key departments and agencies are affected? The Department of Defense, the nation's 1.4 million active duty uniformed military personnel, will stay on duty and, of course, will be paid, as the president points out. A much better saving would be to bring them home and give them VA benefits and give them benefits not to fight. About half of the Defense Department's 800,000 civilian employees will have to stop work, but there's a blanket exception for activities that provide for the national security. That means if you're a spy, if you're with the FBI, if you're with the CIA, you're probably privileged, whereas if you're doing desk work, you're not. But where employees are needed to work, they may have to do so without pay. Military and other civilians directed to work would be paid retroactively once the lapse in appropriation ends, according to Defense Department Controller Robert Hale. President Barack Obama later told civilian employees that they deserve better than the dysfunction we're seeing in Congress. What I don't understand about this is Obama keeps talking about Congress. Congress. Congress has a majority. The Democrats have a majority in the Senate, a minority in the House. Why does this man keep saying Congress instead of Republicans? He is blaming his own party. He's using the rhetoric, it's the president against Congress. Insane. I'm sorry, but I mean, this guy can't organize and can't argue for anything. He doesn't say the Republicans are trying to destroy my administration. He says Congress is holding you up, which means Harry Reid and the Senate Democrats, not that they're any good, but they're better than the Republicans, and yet Obama is not drawing any lines in the sand. The National Nuclear Safety Administration, which oversees the nation's nuclear weapons and naval reactor programs, will have 343 employees on duty to, quote, perform functions related to the safety of human life and the protection of property. 343 employees. I wonder how much they laid off in the nuclear weapons program. More than 400 employees will stay on to work at the Southwest Power Administration and the Western Area Power Administration, which are in charge of overseeing hydroelectric and power lines in the South and Western U.S. Some staff in other areas will remain at work to oversee the protection of human life and property. Okay, the Department of Commerce. Most of the department staff will stay home. However, the staff at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will continue. Some of the work at the Bureau of Industry and Security will stay on duty. At the Department of Transportation, 38,000 people have to stay home. Air traffic control, airport and hazardous material construction will continue. Staff involved in overseeing commercial space launches will also continue. But you get it. The Smithsonian Institute, the National Parks will be laid off, the Department of Homeland Security, 86% of them are going to be exempted from the shutdown. including uniformed agents and officers at the county's borders and ports of entry. The Department of Justice, almost all of them are going to be exempt from the shutdown. All FBI agents are from the exempt. The drug enforcement agencies working on active counter-narcotic investigations are going to be exempt. Staff at all federal prisons will also be expected to work. But don't worry. For the Department of Health and Human Services, at least 40,000 people out of 78,000 will be sent home, more than half. But the Center for Disease Control and Prevention will consider minimal support to protect the health and well-being. So you're getting this picture. This is pretty interesting. Department of Education, half of the employees will be sent home. The EPA, wow. Oh, my God. At the EPA, they have 16,000 employees. 15,000 are going to be sent home. So let me give you a summary, folks, of the government shutdown, in case you're worried. I'm not worried anymore. I feel much, much more secure. The Department of Homeland Security is going to be on duty 24/7. The FBI, on duty 24/7. The CIA, don't worry about it. It's going to be on duty. The troops occupying other people's country, they're still going to get their remittances. They're only going to close down the Department of Education, the Department of Social Services, and the Environmental Protection Agency. They're only going to shut down all the government services, but they're not going to shut down the police state. So since that's consistent with where the country's going anyway, I'm not worried anymore because we've been fighting for the social welfare state, not the police state, but we're getting the police state, not the social welfare state. What's interesting about the shutting down of Congress is they've just made their cards completely on the table that they will never, ever, ever shut down the police state. So that's encouraging. Now, from Color Lines magazine, Color Lines Online, www.colorlines.com, I believe. Excellent, excellent online zine, which you should check out every day. It is colorlines.com. They have an article by Amara Jones called Why Race Matters in the Government Shutdown. Speaker of the House John Boehner, Republican from Ohio, arrives for a Republican conference meeting at the U.S. Capitol September 30th with a picture of him. The shutdown of the federal government is by Amara Jones, which began at midnight today, is a body blow to our economy that could prove difficult to bear. Come on the heels of the automatic budget cuts of sequestration, which are already forecast to cost 750,000 jobs this year, and 3 years of an anemic economic recovery, the furlough of almost a million federal workers is just not what the economy needs right now. That's an understatement. The shutdown was touched off by a Senate vote yesterday to turn down a measure that would have kept the government operating for 10 weeks in exchange for a one-year delay in Obamacare. I really think the Republicans are great. I mean, they actually have a proposal that they're going to allow the government to stay open for 10 weeks if Obama gives up 1 year of Obamacare. Nobody accused them of not making strong demands. Given that the federal government contributes $1 out of $7 to annual economic output by making critical investments in key areas such as health, education, food security, and housing, it would be hard to find an American who won't be touched by this freeze in government activity, especially if it lasts for more than a few short days. As the parts of the government affected by the shutdown disproportionately impact economic opportunity programs for the working poor, historically marginalized communities are likely to feel the effects of a shutdown acutely as time goes on. What's particularly distressing about the shuttering of the government is that it comes at a time when unemployment remains in the double digits for blacks and Latinos. As the Center for American Progress points out, federal, state, and local governments since 2008 have eliminated 750,000 public sector jobs. That's a million, basically. It's three-quarters of a million. Given unionization and strong anti-discriminatory hiring practices, people of color are more likely to have jobs in the public sector. This is particularly true for African Americans, and that's why joblessness remains so stubborn in communities of color. Now, this is me talking. I'm going to keep commenting as we go along. Let's just take that a little further. The United States government has no intention of generating jobs for working people, and neither does the capitalist system, and this is really scary. At a different point in history, the United States was trying to have not necessarily a full employment economy, but it needed a working class. It needed people to produce a lot of goods and services and in return consume goods and services. So the so-called private sector was providing jobs. But that's a crazy way of understanding it. They weren't providing jobs. They were hiring workers to exploit them. And in return, yeah, I guess they provided jobs. So over time, like when I worked in an auto factory, there were 5,000 of us working to make General Motors cars, and we got paid very well for it. Over time, GM figured out by speeding up the line, by using robots, by subcontracting out parts, by subcontracting out some of the manufacture of entire cars, that they could get rid of more and more employees. When I was in the United Auto Workers, there were almost 1 million workers there. Today, there's 500,000. That means 500,000 jobs were lost over the last 15 years. They're not being replaced. So the myth of the economy being sluggish, do we understand that the system has no plans to ever hire people back? And the only jobs that are going to be available are either very, very high-skill jobs, which are going to be given to high-skill immigrants coming in on very specialized visas, or very, very low-wage jobs, which are going to be given to undocumented workers because they believe that the undocumented workers can't have the right to organize, which they can't. So as we try to eliminate so-called immigration reform and give undocumented workers the right to organize and immediate citizenship and amnesty, there will be some upward pressure on wages, but don't count on it. The system, even in a comprehensive immigration reform, it's talking 15 years before people will get any full rights in this country. So here's the point. The government has been the employer of last resort. There are no private sector jobs. I repeat, there are no private sector jobs. The only jobs available are security guards, hotel workers, food and commercial workers. There are no new hirings going on. There are only cuts. Secondly, they're cutting out of the federal jobs as well. So that all the opposition to teachers, hospitals, the cutting of social service means especially black people who went into the public service, you know, since the post office are now being driven out. And again, there are no plans to expand those programs. So we're talking about a structural crisis of which this government shutdown is just scratching the surface of the structural problem. Now back to the article. The truth is that people of color represent a larger proportion of the federal workforce than the workforce overall. According to the Washington Post, 35% of federal workers are non-white versus 30% of all workers. I'd like to say 35% are black, Latino, or Asian Pacific Islander. This means a shutdown will only add to the economic woes and employment worries in communities of color. To be clear, not all of the more than 4 million federal workers will be told to stay home. Men and women in the armed forces make up close to half of all those on the federal payroll. Given special legislation to exempt them from the shutdown passed by Congress yesterday, they will be on the job and receive pay. But over 800,000 of the remaining 2 million civilian workers will be barred from work. These deemed essential to maintain the safety of human life or the protection of property. Well, you know, the protection of property, parenthesis, is very important in America. In critical positions will work but not receive pay. Either way, the bottom line is that 2 million Americans and the families that rely on them will not receive a paycheck during the period of the shutdown. If the federal government is up and running by the end of the week, the impact will be minimal. But should it last for more than 10 days or so, it will begin to bite. Economic forecasts underscore the point. As Bloomberg reports, Mark Zandi, former economic advisor to John McCain and chief economist at Moody's, well, that's a definitely important guy if he advised John McCain, calculates that a shutdown of a few days would be negligible, but 1 or 2 weeks could cut economic growth for the last 3 months of this year by 10%. Any longer than that, and the economy would be on its way back to recession. Adding to the potential pain and uncertainty of it all is the sheer scale of government activities that will be curtailed, each touching on vital areas of economic life necessary for the country to function. With guidance from agency submissions to the White House, here's a sampling of the way things could look if the shutdown persists into next week. And this is from Call Alliance, remember, we're talking about. Health needs will be delayed. The 110 million Americans already in Medicare, the government health program for the elderly, and Medicaid, the federal and state partnership to provide health insurance to the working poor and their children, will continue to receive the services and treatment that they need. However, new applications to these programs will be delayed until the government reopens. Impaired ability to fight disease. The Centers for Disease Control will scale back the monitoring of the spread of infectious diseases, and the National Institutes of Health will do the same for critical research into life-saving treatments until the lights come back on. More people hungry. And this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines. And we're reading about why race matters in the government shutdown from Color Lines magazine. More people hungry. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP, commonly referred to as food stamps, will continue to provide its $33 of weekly assistance. Oh my God, I'm sorry I didn't know that. $33 of weekly assistance to 48 million Americans who currently receive it. Wow, don't spend it all at one place. $33 for an entire family. However, the Women, Infants, and Children's Program, WIC, which covers 7 million children and infants and their mothers, will temporarily end. The program will restart once the government reopens. I don't understand. The Women, Infants, and Children Program. So 7 million people are not going to get any benefits. Poor kids set back. Funds for the 1 million children in Head Start will technically expire today, but only a smattering of locations will be forced to immediately close their doors. However, more programs will run out of money and come under pressure the longer this goes on. The same is true for Title I education grants, which provide badly needed assistance to 20 million children in the nation's poorest school districts. Also, review of new student loan and federal grant applications will be delayed. So this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, 4 o'clock every Tuesday. What we're discussing now is this shutdown of the federal government initiated by the Republican Party. I'm going to make a few more comments on it, and I'm also going to talk about some stuff going on in Venezuela, and then we're going to go to the phones. But for a lot of the people out listening to KPFK and listening to Voices from the Frontlines, these are programs that are affecting you. So it's very interesting that, as I said earlier, the government is making a very, very conscious choice to keep the Army going, to keep the police going, to keep the CIA going, seriously, the FBI going, Office of Homeland Security, but Supplemental Nutrition Program, Women, Infants, and Children's Program, rather, is being cut. Now we're going to get to poor kids set back. Funds for the 1 million children Head Start will technically expire today, but only a smattering of locations will be forced to immediately close their doors. However, more programs will run out of money and come under pressure the longer this goes on. The same is true for Title I education grants, which provide badly needed assistance to 20 million children in the nation's poorest school district. Also, review of new student loan and federal grant applications will be delayed. Housing at risk. The Federal Housing Administration, which underwrites 4 out of every 10 mortgages in the United States, as crucial for working families entering the housing market, will not process new home loans during an extended shutdown. Housing vouchers for the working poor and homeless will also be at risk the longer this goes on. More immigration delays. This is creepy, I'm sorry. Border patrols and enforcement will continue during the shutdown, but new visa and citizenship applications will be stalled until the government is back to work. The essential point is that the partial closing of the government is potentially a huge setback for both the broader economy and economic justice at a crucial moment. Though congressional Republicans and their allied Tea Party organizations don't see it that way. Former Republican vice chair and head of the American Conservative Union, Al Cardenas, told the Center for American Progress he was convinced that there would not be any negative economic fallout from the shutdown. If the government is closed for just a few days, he might very well be right. But as I argued last week, the GOP and Tea Party outlook on a government shutdown is not about economic evidence. It's about advancing an overall ideology. Until that changes, millions of Americans might very well have reason to worry. Well, as again, that was Imara Jones with excellent analysis of the impacts, but we again have to go back to the crisis in the Democratic Party, the crisis of Barack Obama, just absolutely one of the worst presidents in U.S. history, and I've never, ever seen a person so unable to explain his point of view, so unable to fight for his point of view. Yesterday, I was listening to a Democrat, of course, on MSNBC, I think that's it, with, you know, Rachel Maddow and team. So this guy is saying, well, we wanted the budget to be, I'll just say, 108-somethings. And they wanted the budget to be 988, whether it's billions, I should know. So you know what we did? We made a compromise. We made it 988, and they still weren't happy. Well, listen, dude, that's not a compromise. You gave the Republicans everything they want, and they still weren't happy. You know why? Because you give the Republicans everything they want. So why should they be happy if they're going to just keep dropping the bar and dropping the bar, and you guys, Democrats, are going to throw away people's social programs? So I do not agree that the Republicans have brought this government down. I believe that the Obama administration is bringing itself down. Can't even explain itself. Go see Saturday Night Live. It was Jay Farrow is just too funny in his Obama Obamacare skit, where he's trying to justify Obamacare, and everybody who comes up who's trying to justify it doesn't even understand it, is saying all the wrong things. But the president is looking hapless, like, no, that's not what I said. That's not, like a woman said, the reason I love Obamacare is now you can get sick anytime you want. You can get medical care. You don't have to wash your hands anymore. You don't have to even, I'm so happy I can stay dirty and filthy. And of course, Jay Farrow said, no, that's not what I meant. But the whole skit was about, that's not what I meant, meaning that Obama can't explain what he meant. So let me ask you out there, listener, how is it possible that the President of the United States cannot explain to the majority of people in the United States that the Republicans cannot shut down the federal government, cannot make the case so that people are outraged? I'm not a big fan of the Democrats, as you know. I think they are slightly better in this fight, but when you listen to them on television, they're incomprehensible. They don't know how to make a moral case because they think like Republicans, they talk like Republicans, and there is no public debate. Now, I'm going to go to Venezuela for about maybe 5 or 8 more minutes. So in 8 minutes, folks, you can start. If you want to talk about the federal government shutdown, or if you want to talk about the U.S. being kicked out of Venezuela, in 8 minutes, all your profound ideas will be on KPFK 90.7 FM. Okay? So I'm going to read you one story about Yankees go home, Venezuelan president to expel the top U.S. diplomat. Venezuela's president, Nicolas Maduro, speaks during an event in Coro in the state of Falcon in this September 30th. Caracas. Venezuelan president Nicolas Maduro said on Monday he was expelling the top U.S. diplomat in the South American nation and two others, accusing them of meeting with opposition leaders and encouraging acts of sabotage against his country. It was the latest of several public disputes between the socialist leader and the United States since Maduro won the April election following the death of his mentor and predecessor, Hugo Chavez. Maduro said Venezuelan authorities had for months allowed follow three U.S. diplomats, and he had now given them 48 hours to leave the OPEC member country. We detected a group of U.S. embassy officials dedicated to meeting the far right and to financing and encouraging acts of sabotage against the electrical system and Venezuela's economy, the president said in a televised speech. 818-985-5735 if you want to talk about the shutdown of Congress or the kicking out of the United States out of Venezuela. I have the proof here in my hands, Maduro added. Yankees go home. Get out of Venezuela. Get out of here. I don't care what actions the government of Barack Obama takes. He said Venezuela was expelling Kelly Kittling, who is U.S. Charged Affairs and the senior American diplomat in Venezuela, because the United States has no ambassador to the country. Parenthesis, the United States won't even send an ambassador to Venezuela. According to U.S. Embassy website, she's been assigned to Caracas since July 2011 as deputy chief of mission and was temporarily serving as Charged Affairs. Venezuela identified the other two diplomats as Elizabeth Hunderland and David Mutt. The U.S. Embassy had no immediate comments on confirmation during the expulsions. So I'm going to just tell you a couple more about that, and we're going to go to the phones, 818-985-5735, if you want to talk about either the United States' effort to subvert the government of Venezuela or the government shutdown. It's shocking to me that, I don't know if you know, I should know the name of the foundation, but there's a foundation that operates in Venezuela, funded by the United States government, openly by the United States Congress, whose goal is to build a right-wing Venezuela, and is supported by right-wing forces in the United States. They walk freely on the streets of Venezuela. They go into the legislature. They talk to people. And they talk to them about getting rid of Hugo Chavez. Can you imagine if the Venezuelan government voted funds to set up a foundation for Venezuelans to come to the United States and talk about basically overthrowing the Obama or the Bush administrations and bringing in a left-wing government? Needless to say, the United States would be saber-rattling Okay, that's enough to keep us busy. 818-985-5735. Let's see what you have to say about the news today. Carlos from downtown L.A.
Hello. I don't really know where to start with all that great information you gave your listeners about how the government shutdown is going to hurt poor Americans, particularly Americans of color, from what I gathered from the source of your article. What I think we need to understand as citizens and realize is that, as Chris Hedges and Sheldon Wolin clearly state in most of their work, particularly Managed Democracy, Inverted Totalitarianism, and all of Chris Hedges' work, his most recent column as well on Truthdig, we are living in a inverted totalitarian state, which means it is not described or defined by a dictator particular, but the anonymity of the corporate state. So we eat corporate food, we work at corporations, we drive corporate cars, fill our cars with corporate gas.
And let me ask you this, because I think I'm going to move to the next call, because here's what I'm asking all you to do, especially if you know some facts about, it was a good analysis by Chris Hedges. Nick from Thousand Oaks, do you have any information or thoughts about the specificity of the congressional shutdown right now?
Well, it's really easy to explain what's going on.
Okay, tell us, Nick.
I like what Ralph Nader said, that in this election with Obama, time will tell if he's going to be Uncle Sam to the people or Uncle Tom to the corporations. I think we know exactly which direction he went. In fact, it's not the choice of the lesser of two evils, it's the more effective of two evils, which is Barack Obama. He's a Republican. He's a billionaire butt-kisser, just like the Republicans. He's no different, and they're playing a reverse psychology game that he's on the other side. I mean, let's look at Obamacare. It's a gift to the insurance companies. It was never a single payer. It was never a public option. He gave, during the anemic stimulus, $60 billion more to the military than the military asked for, which is a true big government that the right wing never look at, you know. He signed the Monsanto Protection Act. That's a huge corporate power.
We completely agree. We completely agree, and I appreciate
it. My God.
No, I totally agree. Hey, folks, I'm going to give some feedback, okay? I know about Chris Hedges, and I know about Ralph Nader. Do you know a little bit about the government shutdown, okay? So, Franz from North Hollywood.
Good afternoon. I didn't hear the whole conversation, but I heard a comment that why can't we believe Obama or something in that respect? So I don't know if I missed the target in terms of what the topic is today about the government shutdown or what happened in Venezuela. But the gentleman before just explained it, Mr. Obama, is as bad as the previous leadership. And if the Democrats would start acknowledging that and not live in a mode of denial, I think we could make some progress. Obama is as bad or worse than Bush, and we can't play both ways, and I think that's what we're still trying to do. He's a Democrat. We have to give him a chance. We go after him because he's black, and that's not the case. I think people dislike Obama because he's such a dishonest person. I think only one person had a comment what he said at the United Nations, and he made the United States look like this great country and spreads freedom and democracy when everything is a freaking lie.
All right, who's our next? Thank you so much for calling. Thank you so much for calling. I appreciate it. And who do we got next? Is it Mark from Hollywood, or is that who we just had?
This is Mark.
Hey, Mark. Please give us a few facts. I would really love just a few numbers or facts or something.
Well, unfortunately, I'm not in the government, but I can tell you why Obama can't explain himself, and that's simply because the Democrats and the Republicans are just different sides of the same coin that's being manipulated by the 1% that control everything in this country and the world. It is as simple as that. That's the main thing you need to know. He's a Trojan horse. He does things that the Republicans couldn't do. They rely on the Republicans for war, okay? They rely on the Democrats to roll back social change and things that are beneficial to the people that live in this country. These people love America, but they hate most Americans, of which I am one.
Well, that sounds good. That was a quick answer. Hey, Alan from North Hollywood, what do you have to say?
Hey, how you doing? I just wanted to say I noticed that all of the programs that are being cut, the EPA, the food for the parents and whatnot, for welfare.
That's right.
I noticed everything that's dealing with the people is being affected, but their government, as far as the military, as far as the police, everything else, is still going on as if nothing's happened. So my question is, how long would this take? How long would this continue to go on? And if all of this stuff is being cut the way it is it possible that this could go into, another level of something, like, say, a martial law or something, when people can't get money, can't get this, can't get that? That's my question.
Well, I think that we're moving in that direction. I mean, if you look at the percentage of the United States that's both a military budget, and now Attorney General Holder has just announced more money for schools, for police in the schools, at a time when our organization, the Strategy Center, is trying to get the police out of the schools, and pointing out that a lot of the students are being arrested for normal behaviors that are being called disorderly conduct or willful defiance. So you have kids that are being policed almost from the time they leave their house to the time they go to school, to the time that they get home. So the growing amount of a genuine police state is happening right now. And as you pointed out, with the cuts in all the social programs and the constant funding, I mean, it was really shocking for me to still read it. As bad as it is sometimes, the system is like worse than you could even think, right? So they funded every single repressive program, has not had virtually any cuts. So the question is, will they move towards martial law? I would say not in the formal sense right now, but it's closer than we think right now. That's the problem, is that the people have so little and the police have so much that it's going to be hard to figure out how to organize a movement. And I appreciate your question. Mark from Venice, what's on your mind? 818-985-5735. You're on Voices from the Front Lines. This is Eric Mann. We're going to talk to Mark from Venice.
Hey, Eric. Thanks for having me on today. I echo what the other caller said about how both parties are just the opposite sides of the same coin. The real problem is that we only have one party, and that's the capitalist party. And capitalism is based on siphoning off as much profit for the few as possible, and that's what's happening. And if we're looking at the shutdown of government, it's all based on this fictitious debt that we've got going here. Where does all this debt come from? From the war and from the policing and all this destruction that we're doing. And the way to get rid of it is just to abolish it. If you don't know about the international treaty that was written in 1927, that's international law by Alexander Sack, which the U.S. has also participated in, is the forgiving of odious debt. That's debt that is illegitimate, that has purpose other than to destroy one's own people and country. We should be looking at abolishing all this debt, the student debt that serves us no purpose whatsoever, this war debt that just goes to the wealthiest of the wealthy. Why are we putting ourselves into this big hole to keep...
Okay, everybody, hey, it sounds good. Listen, let me speak to all the listeners for a minute, because you guys have been really good in the past. We're getting into a little bit of speeches tonight, and as opposed to comments. So you're smart out there. You know, remember that when you're on, there's at least, you know, a million other listeners at Voices from the Front Lines hanging on your every word. So try to get in the 1 minute to 1 minute and 10 second kind of comment where you have one observation. You think through what is your observation. Make it. Give me a chance to respond, because I don't want to cut you off, okay? So a few less broad commentaries and some very witty, perceptive observations would really be appreciated, okay? So is this Alvin from Van Nuys? Is that who we got, Jesse? Thank you. Alvin, you set the model here.
Good afternoon, sir. Very briefly, the reason you can't get a clean CR out of the House of Representatives is because Boehner is being he's being primaried, and he is absolutely scared to death of losing his House seat to somebody who's crazier, you know, than he is. So he's not going to do anything. That's why you can't get it. He has the votes. All he has to do is call it up, put it up for a vote, and he'll get it. Okay? But he won't do it, because if he does, he'll get primaried. One other thing. The president has in his hot little hands the ability to put a stop to this. We are technically at war. We're at war.
I'm going to keep on your first comment, because you were okay. More on target there. Okay. I think one of the things that I'm going to move on, one of the things you pointed out that was very good is, look, we have to understand and learn from what the right wing does because they don't play. You see, I mean, like what you pointed out is absolutely right. He's being primary. So in other words, but Boehner, what you just said is that the Tea Party is going to run against Boehner. If Boehner doesn't do the crazy stuff that they ask him to do, which is shut down the government, which isn't crazy because that's their tactical plan. The tactical plan is to destroy Obamacare, and I do think it's important that people have an opportunity to participate in that program. They run people in the primaries against you, and they raise big money, and I'm not sure if they could defeat Boehner, but your point, the listener's point was, is that one reason Boehner is not willing to stand up to the far right is because the far right is going to run in his district. Jane, nice to hear a woman from Ventura. Do you have any facts about the actual shutdown of the government or analysis? Go ahead.
I've got no more facts than you do, but I have an observation.
Sure.
Rather than a protracted austerity process, the Republicans got their austerity program all in one fell swoop, and that's all I've got to say.
This whole question of sequestration, I need to study more about that because somehow Obama cut a deal with the Republicans that said if they didn't reach a certain level of agreement, there would be an automatic cut in government programs. He thought he was doing it theoretically to threaten them because it was going to also cut the military, meaning they wouldn't do it. But somehow they've done it. Nobody even knows they've done it. And 20% of federal employees are being laid off. I have a friend who is a public defender in the federal government, a lawyer with terrific credentials. He's being laid off because of sequestration, which nobody even knows what it means. But somehow what it means is that there already is, what your point was, already is a 20% cut across the board in non-military federal funding. So who do we have next, Jesse? Who am I going to next? Ben from Palos Verdes. How you doing, Ben?
Hi, I'm great. Thanks for taking my call.
You're on Voices from the Frontlines with Eric Mann. Go ahead.
I just wanted to make something that you were just alluding to, which is the fact that the Tea Party in particular, and Republicans generally, have no problem with cutting government programs. I don't understand why people are sort of shocked that, you know, that they're willing to negotiate away government programs, especially, you know, socially beneficial programs. That's their goal, that's their plan. And so for them to say that they're disappointed or somehow shocked that the Democrats be willing to negotiate that away or you know, is ridiculous because, like, that's their explicit purpose. They're trying to eliminate any and or all government programs that they can.
Absolutely right. I mean, the right wing, I think you know, has actually been trying to repeal, forget about socialism, has been trying to repeal the New Deal. And President Obama, being, it turns out, a center-right Clintonian, is cutting deals with them also from a neoliberal point of view, and will not defend any social programs. It's pathetic. So they're really arguing over how many federal programs to cut and how much. Gene from Sylmore, then Bo from Elysian Valley, Rudy from El Monte, Lori from Newport, you guys are doing great. 818-985-5735, Gene from Sylmore. What do you think about the government shutdown?
Well, I think the Washington Post says it best, the House of Turds. You know, I personally call them the House of Reprehensibles. I think it makes the case that we need term limits for congressmen. One congressman in Texas said that introduced a bill that they should get their pay cut while this action is going on. And I think that for people who are visiting national monuments and feel disappointed, I think people should realize that whoever visits a national monument is automatically given a retina screen and put on the NSA sweat spy list. But I think
that's what I'm saying. Thank you very much for that comment. And everybody, that's the level of comment I need. Get to the point. Hey, Bo from Elysian Valley. How you doing, Bo?
I'm doing pretty good. So you asked for facts, and there's been 18 government shutdowns since, like, the mid-70s, I think, for, like, a total of over 120 days. So, like, this happening, I mean, the last time was, like, around mid-90s, 95.
With Clinton and with Newt Gingrich.
Yeah, exactly. So this happens, you know, fairly often. And, I mean, to me, it seems like a lot of posturing, and I don't want to sound, you know, cynical, But eventually they will reach a compromise and the cuts will be made. And, you know, it's more than likely it'll be social services or something that, you know, benefits underprivileged people. You know, it's not going to be military or, you know, any of the bigger government spending areas. But the thing that's interesting to me is that the 47 sort of like rogue Tea Party people got away with doing this shutdown. And I think it would be impossible for them to get away with that if they weren't sort of permitted to a certain extent. So maybe I'm just a cynic, but I think it's posturing for a foregone conclusion. You know,
so do I. I think that's a very good observation. And I think the scary thing is that both parties have figured out that they're going to say, well, one party will back down depending on who the public is going to blame for this, which is pretty pathetic. But your point, which is very well taken, is, and this is tragic, when they go back, there will be more programs that will have been cut. And when they so-called restore the federal funding, there will be less money for social programs again and more money for the military and police. Is this Rudy from El Monte? You're on KPFK 90.7 FM. And by the way, next week starts the fun drive. If you like this show, which I think you do, you love it, I know you do, but if you like to talk, which you do, and have opinions, which you do, it's just, you know how they say it's a free country? Well, not really. It's not a free country. And nor is KPFK a completely free radio station, you know. There are people here who need money to run the show. So next week, Tuesday from 4 to 5, Voices from the Frontlines folks, come on back and contribute to the fund drive, because KPFK is an amazing station and it needs money to keep operating. I volunteer here, so that's fine, but there's a lot of people working here on very minimal salaries, trying to keep this place open. It costs a lot of money to run a radio station, so few more ideas, but give to the fund drive. Jackie from Long Beach, what's up? You're on Voices from the Frontlines.
Good afternoon. My comment is in regard to, with the shutdown of the government, it's really interesting that they're saying that they're cutting government spending. They're not really cutting government spending. They're just transferring the government jobs to the private sector. I have friends that work for the government. Their jobs have been cut, but they're taken over by a private company. So they're not really cutting. They're just transferring the wealth into the hands of the wealthy once again. They're no longer public sector jobs. They're private sector jobs.
Thank you so much. That's a perfect example of getting to the point. Thank you so much. Hey, Raj from West LA, what's up with you? You're on Voices from the Frontlines. We've got about 3 more minutes left.
Yes, this is the point I want to make. How come, you know, all these government shutdowns happen only when a Democrat president is there, Obama, Clinton, Carter, but never happens when it's Reagan or Bush? So these congressmen, teabaggers in particular, are not congressmen. They are thugs, goons. They come and go after Democratic president and shut down. That's all they do. Same thing with the debt ceiling. Bush for 8 years was ballooning the budget like crazy with two unfunded wars. And you didn't see any teabaggers or Republicans coming up with debt ceiling then. As soon as Obama becomes president, he's a Democrat, and on top of that he's black. Then these idiots come and these are thugs and goons. They are not congressmen. They got to be thrown out in the dustbin.
Thank you, Raj. But let me just point out that the Democrats never took on George Bush. The Democrats rolled over. So, yes, the Tea Party's a thugs, but they're fighting for their right-wing principles, which are pretty disgusting. But the liberals have no principles. They don't fight. They took a dive with George Bush for 8 years, and they shouldn't be commended that they never stood up to the president. What you're absolutely right about is the Republicans have been determined to destroy the Obama administration from the first day in office. The sad thing is why President Obama is also helping to destroy his own administration. Rudy from El Monte.
Thank you for your time. I want to say that the term sequester shouldn't be used. It should be called austerity, like it is applied in all over the world, so people could realize that here in our country, austerity is taking place. And second is that this shutdown is just a ploy to, in the end, for Obama to negotiate away our the programs that benefit the working class to the benefit of the upper class, and that shouldn't happen. Thank you for your time.
I think that's a very good formulation. I think you're absolutely right. That what's happening in the United States is part of the international trend of capitalism towards so-called austerity. Federico, what do we have, a minute left? Lori from Newport, you may be our last caller.
Yeah, well, I'm really not happy about the Obamacare, and I called that covered, it's called covered care. It's really unimpressive, and the people answering the phone have no idea about anything. But that's the, also, my question was about Obamacare, why is it called that? And they said it's really called the Affordable Care. And I couldn't see any possibility of that, when what he was describing on the phone. And I'm very concerned through my first-hand knowledge about the foreign doctors being put in place to manage the poor people that don't understand English. This is very upsetting.
Okay, I'm going to have to, I just want to make sure that I have enough time to comment on that. There's a lot of problems in this country, but none of them are about foreign doctors, and none of them are about doctors who can't speak English. It's just not true. There's many problems of wars, of killing social programs, but you're entitled to your opinion. That's why we have KPFK. But until a couple of weeks from now, this is Eric Mann. To a lot of our listeners, I want you to know there were about five or six or seven more callers. So thanks a lot for caring about voices from the front lines, putting on your energy. And I'll see you in a couple of weeks.